90.7 WGBH.
Today at WGBHnews.org, could turning Boston into Venice save it from becoming Atlantis? If you missed this climate change story on the radio, check it out online at WGBHnews.org right now.
Support for WGBH comes from you. And Old Sturbridge Village, children 17 and under receive free daytime admission to this 1830s New England Living History Museum during July and August. Restrictions apply. More details at osv.org.
And you're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. Well, summer 2014 just keeps rolling along, and that means the race for governor is slowly closing in on primary day, September 9th, now just 8 weeks away. As part of our weekly series examining the race for governor, with me this morning is Republican candidate Charlie Baker. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Well, you've been down this road before, having run back in 2010 against our current governor. You came in just 6 points behind Deval Patrick, 48% to 42%. What's different about the race this time around, and what encouraged you to get back in?
I would say the biggest difference is it's an open seat. So it's a campaign for the office, which is in many respects different than certainly 2010. And I guess I would say the thing that got me back in the race is I still think some of the issues I was concerned about in 2010 are still with us. I talk about it as sort of an opportunity gap. People use other words for it. But basically, I think Massachusetts at this point, whether you're talking about jobs or schools or sort of community development, we really are in some respects doing very, very well. And some people are doing very well. But there are a lot of people in Massachusetts who, when it comes to those three issues, are frankly either running in place or falling behind. And we need to work on that.
Well, we hear a lot about job development and the economy. What's your plan?
Well, I start with the proposition that we have some terrific institutions, and we've done a pretty good job as a Commonwealth sort of leveraging those, and you see that in our biotechnology and our healthcare and our technology and education and finance spaces. But a lot of that is clustered inside Route 128, and when you get outside Route 128, it's a different story. And I would say that for me, the big challenge and the big opportunity is to try to pursue policies that enhance our ability to succeed based on the intrinsic success that we have in other parts of Massachusetts. For example, Worcester is a top 50 manufacturing city in the United States. And a lot of people don't know that because many of the big manufacturers aren't there anymore, but there's still a ton of sort of medium-sized and smaller manufacturers there. And our strategies with respect to sort of Central Mass, in my view, ought to build on that. And when I think about the Pioneer Valley, where we have 3,000 machinists out there in the Springfield area, we ought to be thinking about, mostly in the aerospace business, what are we going to do to try and enhance and build on what we have there? I mean, what works in Hamden and Hampshire counties is going to be different than what works in Worcester, different than what works in Barnstable and Bristol. And my view is, you know, we ought to think about those as economic clusters and create policies to support growing what's already there.
Now, you're going to have an opponent in the September primary, Mark Fisher, a Tea Party Republican. What does that say about maybe you're not conservative enough for Bay State Republicans?
You know, I've always considered myself to be sort of a Bill Weld Republican. I worked for Bill Weld for 8 years when he was governor for Health and Human Services and Ford Administration and Finance. And I'm pretty much cut from his cloth, which I would describe as fiscally conservative and socially moderate. I'm a pro-choice candidate, and I support marriage equality. My brother is actually gay and married. But I'm a pretty hard-headed guy when it comes to the math and the budget and whether or not you're getting a bang for your buck. And then one thing I would say is that I did get over 80% of the vote at the state convention, which is where most of the party activists gathered earlier this year. So clearly there's an appetite in the party for somebody with my perspective and my outlook.
Let's talk about casinos a minute. Of course, now the looks like the voters will have their say in November on whether or not to repeal the state casino law. Back here on WGBH Radio, back on June 25th, after the SJC's decision to allow that vote, you said you believe in one casino. Let's listen.
I mean, my position is that I would vote against the question, but I'm still a big believer in one casino. And my primary interest in voting against it. As I've now made 3 or 4 trips out to Springfield, I've talked to a ton of people out in that area. I know you guys were just talking about this. People out there voted 58-42 to go ahead with it. The proposal that's on the table from MGM is located in a part of Springfield that was decimated by the tornadoes that went through there.
So taking that into consideration, what would happen to the Eastern casino proposals?
Well, what's funny, of course, is that, you know, one of the things you learn about in politics and public life is everything you say somehow just hangs around out there in the air forever. My view on this all along has been that I'm sort of a one casino guy. I do think, and I did suggest that the Gaming Commission reserve judgment on making a decision with respect to Eastern Mass until after the vote in the fall. They've chosen, which I think was a position that I think Mayor Walsh endorsed that position as well. They've chosen to go ahead and pursue their process on their own timeline, separate and apart from the vote. But I certainly think the vote on all of this in the fall is important, and I think it's something that I'm glad the voters are having an opportunity to make the call on. Somebody goes out and collects 125,000 signatures, they deserve to be on the ballot. And I was disappointed that the Attorney General, for whatever reason, didn't see that.
You were raised in Needham and came from a politically involved family. You grew to have a reputation as a boy wonder in that world administration. You also have solid experience in the business sector. Yet, unlike the first time you ran for governor, you're not making promises or a no-tax pledge this time. What can you promise voters that differentiates you from the other candidates?
Well, I'm not going to raise taxes. I mean, I didn't take the pledge primarily because I think our tax code is incredibly complicated. And if people have some thoughts and ideas about how to simplify or clean it up and close a few loopholes and stuff like that, I want to be able to engage them in that conversation and pursue that forward. But I've made pretty clear that I'm not going to I think Massachusetts has raised taxes 5 times in the last 7 years. It affects negatively our competitive position. And I think it's important for us to realize that at some point, state government's got to learn how to live within its means. I mean, we've had people on Beacon Hill tell us for the past several years how much better we're doing than the rest of the country in terms of our economy and job growth and all the rest. Well, if that's true, then state government ought to be able to figure out how to live within its means and not have to keep going back to the taxpayers. I'm also opposed, by the way, to the automatic inflation adjuster in the gas tax, which was part of the package that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor last year. And that question will also be on the ballot, and my position on that one separates me from certainly the other Democrats in the race.
When the Supreme Court came down with its Hobby Lobby decision, you came out and initially said it would have make no difference here in Massachusetts, and a lot of other candidates jumped on you saying that you didn't understand the issue. You had to backtrack a little. What about that? Can you clarify that for us?
Well, I thought really hard about this thing, and sometimes you lose the forest through the trees. You know, I knew Massachusetts had a mandate. I knew that mandate would still be in place. If you were a small business covered by that mandate in Massachusetts, you would be offering coverage. Large businesses that typically self-insure would be covered by the federal mandate. So I was sort of thinking to myself, well, this is good news for Massachusetts. This won't be an issue for people here. And I think when that issue was brought up, I thought about it a little more. A couple people raised some other possibilities. And I said, geez, okay, I can see how here in Massachusetts this might matter as well. And I made a proposal involving the Department of Public Health that would solve the problem for women here in Massachusetts, because obviously I want to be sure that people here and women here have access to a full range of reproductive and contraceptive services. And the proposal I made, I think, would work, and I would urge the legislature and the governor and my opponents to either endorse and embrace my proposal or come up with their own.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Happy to be with you this morning.
Charlie Baker, Republican candidate for governor. Thanks.